You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
It's like Christmas in April for anyone who loves the sport of three-day eventing. We're gearing up for the best weekend all year with a heartwarming story about three Kentucky eventing veterans that will make you smile. Also this month, we're putting some of the best tech for equestrians to the test. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks. Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Woznicka. Welcome to episode 147 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
Can you believe it's Kentucky?
It's the week of Kentucky. It's crazy. I feel like it really snuck up on me this year.
Right?
So, Jess, you're going, right?
We're going in a different fashion this year. So, my first Kentucky that I competed was 2010, and Doug's was 2012. And we have been, one of us has competed every year for the last 16 years, except for in 2014. And maybe I guess they didn't have it during COVID. But since that time span of 16 years, we are not competing there this year for the first time.
That's kind of a weird thing.
But at the end of the day, we are still going. We're going to go for a couple of days and we're going to walk the cross country with Mary Bess and cheer her on. And I don't know, we're going to play it by ear, but the weather looks kind of iffy and Doug's competing at Tryon the next week. So we can't get stuck there. So we might weirdly come home early. So stay tuned because we don't even know what we're doing.
In a classic Kentucky move, the weather looks bad.
so weird. I've never seen it be weird. You know, it goes from snowing to 90 degrees.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
So yeah, so we'll keep you guys posted and you'll have to follow along on our pages and see everything that we are up to. But I'm excited. We're going to go and we're going to go cheer on a bunch. So we're excited. We're going to be there minimum through like Friday, but maybe through the weekend. We'll see.
Awesome. Well, this episode is brought to you by Farnham.
So Jess, with Kentucky being around the corner, I found this drink and I thought of you.
Okay. It's got to be bourbon.
So yes. So it's a classic brown Derby cocktail. So okay. You're going to need 1.5 ounces bourbon whiskey, 1.5 ounces freshly squeezed grapefruit juice, 1/2 ounce honey syrup, or you can do like a simple syrup made from equal parts, you know, water, honey, ice cubes, and then optional, you can use like grapefruit to garnish. So what you're going to do is you're going to combine your bourbon, your grapefruit juice, and your honey syrup in a shaker with your, you know, ice, shake it up. And then strain into a chilled coupe glass or rocks glass and garnish with the grapefruit slice.
Yum.
This sounds really good.
This sounds really good and refreshing.
And like a different bourbon drink for us. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a different spin for us.
Yeah.
I like this.
Oh, Ellie, good find.
I know. It's perfect for this episode. It's perfect for going into Kentucky.
I thought that would be the perfect gateway bourbon drink for me because it does have some kind
of fruit. Yeah, you've got your fruit.
And some honey syrup, you know.
You'll be good.
Exactly, yeah.
And funny enough, it doesn't even sound that sweet to me, you know, because I do like, and I could just do a little less grapefruit and add like club soda maybe or something. I don't know. I'm excited to try that.
Absolutely.
So, Justine, what do you have for news?
Okay, well, this can't be our Kentucky episode if we're not looking at the entry list of who's in Kentucky right now, gearing up to run both the 4-star and the 5-star. So let's start with the 5-star, obviously the big one. The Chronicle of the Horse has done a good job of kind of keeping up with who entered early and who's already dropped out. It's a little bit of a, I don't know, it's 35 entries. Do you feel like that feels small, Jess, or is that about on par?
In recent years, that's about on par. They used to be able to bring more, but that's kind of on par for, I'd say, recent years.
Yeah. I mean, all our favorites are there. Boyd is out there. He's on Liz Holiday Sharp's Mix Master C. Caroline's got quite a few in the mix, including her Olympic mount. HSH Blake. Boyd's also got Commando 3 returning. I love to see that Monica is back with Artist. You know, after what happened at Maryland, I would love to see her have a really great showing again in Kentucky. But then there are lots of like good favorites here. Like, I'm really happy to see Mary Bess out there with Imperial Magic. She just left Ocala. I saw she competed at the Horse Park during the International Festival of Eventing and is looking pretty darn competitive. So I'm really hoping she's got a good shake. We've got a few people coming from far away. We got Tim Price out there. Let's see who else stands out to you in this list. Harry Mead. Joss, anybody you really want to see go this year?
No, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Tim brings over, how he goes. David Duell's coming over, Tom mm-hmm. Jackson. They've got a bunch and they've all been there. We've got some newcomers. We've got some older ones. Like, I'm really excited, honestly, just to kind of see the track and see what it all looks like. And, you know, it could be an interesting weekend. Doug has already told Bess. Mary Bess is one of my longest best friends from forever. So I probably talked to her multiple times a day sometimes. Aww. But anyways, she's six in the order. And so she was kind of like, oh, I'm early. Doug's like, yep. But if the cross country gets sloppy, it's always nice to go early.
That's
so
a good point. Yeah.
We will be paying attention because, you know, the weather could be a factor this year. And it is always interesting when that comes out. So you have some, you know, maybe you get better marks being on Friday on the dressage, but it could be something when it comes Saturday afternoon, if they do get the rain they think they're going to get.
Who do you think is a contender to win? Like, I'm happy to see Will Coleman out there with Diablo again. I think he did the 4-star with this horse last year, right?
Yeah, that one would be good. I mean, I think Boyd's are going to go well.
Yeah.
Tim Price, it really depends on how his dressage goes. Tom McEwen can always be up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of a lot of anybody's game because there's not really somebody that's been like hitting it hard that you're like, oh, that one's definitely, it's gonna be, I think, all three phases. And I feel like it might be down to the wire.
I agree with you. So to quickly look at the 4-star as well, I love to see Tammy out there with a couple of rides.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about her last episode. She made her migration from West Coast to East Coast. So some weeks ago and has been kicking butt, man. I mean, she looks amazing and she's got a couple horses in the field here in the 4-star. Coleman's got a few here. It's nice
he's
to see
be
Lisa
busy.
Wallace. Yeah. And
he's
then Briggs, who kind of made a splash with his little horse, Couture, the mare that I think is like a pony size, is back.
And she's Lainey been Ash- looking good. So yeah. That will be interesting. Yeah. So she's been doing well. And
Lainey Ashker's out there with her lovely mare, Love Dance. There's a lot of people to watch.
Yeah. Jan's got the Beautiful Storm. There's a lot of them that I think still the morning is going to be interesting enough to see, you know, a different kind of group of people out there.
Absolutely. And people who I think are, you know, they're at the 4-star this year and maybe aiming for the, you know, things go well in the next year, you might see them in the 5-star next year. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be exciting. It's a great entry list on both 4 and 5-star. But yeah, I can't wait to watch. But Ellie, you've read about a couple of interesting rookies who are out there for the first time this year.
Yeah, I love a good rookie story and hearing like how they got to that level. So for the 5-star, Alex Conrad looks like an interesting one with Malibu Preacher, who is just an adorable thoroughbred. It was a steeplechase horse and he's older. He's now 35. So to see him like show us that, you know, it doesn't matter when you start. You don't need to be, you know, late 20s, early 20s to be competing at this level. So that's really exciting. And I like the look of his horse. I mean, a good thoroughbred, right? I think we're all going to be in agreement on. So I'm excited to see them go in the 5-star. And another one that I'm really excited to see is actually Braden Speck and his Connemara thoroughbred, which we know I love Connemaras, BSF Liam. It'll be their first time in the five-star, too. And he's actually a pre-vet student. So I think it's really cool to see him, you know, balancing. He's going to be balancing the workload, but he's going to take 4 years off of competing after this to go into vet school, which I think is really just a cool way to balance both sides of the industry. But I'm excited to see him and his little Connemara cross go.
Me too. That sounds awesome. And Jess, can you talk to us about the Kentucky Invitational? Obviously, the show jumping horse show that goes along with the event is becoming a bigger and bigger deal every year.
It is. You know, it started off and now it's actually a five-star. It was last year, but this year it's going to change formats even more. It has actually gone from Split Rock and now Major League Show Jumping, which also does teams, has taken it on, and they're a five-star as well. And what they do is they have teams competing for like up to like rounds. And so that will be one night. Then they'll still have the welcome and they'll still have the big Grand Prix. So it brings in a lot of big riders. Funny enough, with the show jumping, they don't produce their list until kind of the week of. So we still don't know what big riders are coming, but generally speaking, Major League can pull a bunch of big riders. Like I think we'll probably see Spencer Smith. I think we'll see, who we've had on is Charlotte Jacobs. I think she'll probably be there, but they have a bunch of teams and they'll compete. And then those team members will, the Bloomins will probably show up again. You'll see a bunch of them and it's exciting. They can produce some big time riders. A lot of the Europeans might still be here and they might come over. And that's kind of a situation where we haven't seen a bunch of them because a lot of them are team members part of the Major League Show Jump teams. So it'll be very interesting. And same with walking the cross country to see where it is. I'm excited to see how they're building it. Major League turns it into a different form. Split Rock does an amazing job. And so it'll be how does Major League kind of par up to what Split Rock's done for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that there's a little bit of a change there. But yeah. I feel like Split Rock has made it a marquee event. Like people come for the 3 day, but you stay for the big time show jumping
yes.
now,
yep.
which is really cool. It just adds to the trip. Like if you want to make the trip and go to Kentucky, now is the time to do it because you just get 100%. So many big name riders from across disciplines who are there.
Yep. And it will start and it will go. Even in the middle of the day on Saturday between the show jumping over in the Cleghorn ring, they're going to have one of the competitions for the five-star for show jumping. So it's going to be not even just at night. It will also be during the day and where everybody can watch it. So it will be a bit of a change of a schedule. So definitely look online because there will be something for everyone all day, all night long at all this entire show.
Even if it rains or it's snowing or it's a million
it's
degrees and muggy.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
The it show will go on. Now for a take we can all agree on. We hate seeing flies in the barn and the trail and the arena. Actually, everywhere. Luckily, this episode is brought to you by Farnam, an Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Made with brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care, Endura Gold annihilates flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection you can rely on. One spray, no mercy.
So please welcome our first guest of the night. It is Doug. He came to join us because he's the person half of us go to when
we're resident nerd.
Yeah, when we need our tech. So welcome. And you got to tell everybody they don't need all of your tech things. Like they probably don't need the latest drone you just got. Not
the drone
ago.
Is pretty amazing.
But please tell the user, like all the listeners, like what do we really need? Like I do agree the cameras in the trailer are really nice. And like, you know, we've talked about on the episodes, they don't always have to be through the equine industry. Like Doug probably found them on Amazon, to be honest.
Right.
The cameras are clutch in the trailer because I don't know, we've shipped an absolute ton of miles and saved, I think, a lot of injuries being able to watch the horses because you can see things happening before it's a real problem. I would avoid the wireless ones. So we put in the wired setup, really not bad to install and really not terribly expensive. I think anything marketed to horses is going to be insanely more expensive. So
how do you go about finding these?
Yeah.
How did you find this?
Well, I guess in the show notes, I've got a Amazon list or whatever.
Oh, you did. Just do you that. Did start
that. That's easy because that has all the components on it. But what I ended up doing is went away from the horse thing, and industrial tractors use the same. So I went searching for, industrial farming camera systems and basically found the exact same one that's not marketed to horses and is probably half the price. Again, really not bad to install. And it's the system we've got has four cameras. So we've got a four horse and a nine horse. And so we've got sort of the front set of horses, a back set of horses. Then we did a backup camera on both trailers because you can never really see that passenger side back corner. And so if you're in a tight gas station or whatever,
I can see it just fine.
Yeah, until she hits it. she drives more by braille than anything. We've got a massive brush guard on the truck because she rear-ended two people. I said, I'm not buying another stock bumper. Like, we're getting something that if you hit somebody, I won't care.
So
that I would say if you're shipping horses, you need a camera system, and it would be, it depends exactly which one you get, but certainly under 1,000, probably closer to $600 or $700. Totally worth it. And then what else?
Well, so did it take to wire it into the trailer? Like, is that pretty hard, or did you have to hire somebody or you did that yourself?
No,
I would hire somebody.
Yeah, I have a degree in mechanical engineering, so I guess I find that stuff a little more straightforward, but it's really just connecting wires together. The most difficult part is just running the power from the truck, but that's, again, it's not terribly difficult. And we happen to have a Ford, and the Fords have the aux switches, which is really nice because then you've got powered lines that are right by where your left knee would be in the dash. You'd pop a panel down and they're right there.
Yep. Yep.
And so, running the wire into the cab is probably the trickiest part, but then especially the Ford, I'm sure other manufacturers do it, but it makes it pretty straightforward to hook those things up. And then it's really nice because like number three turns the system on. Number four, if we turn it on, goes directly to the backup camera. So it's, it's pretty sweet.
That is a pretty good setup. That's cool. Okay. So, all right. So
that's more looking... necessity. The other stuff is...
Actually, no. And the other necessity we did is we used one camera system for the barn. We do have a camera system in the barn. So we're talking about things that, you might want in the barn later on. That is one.
Like every stall?
No, just...
We probably have 10 cameras around the property. We've got our main barn has 10 stalls on each wing, and we've got sort of one per on there. So you can really, you're not going to catch if somebody's cast, but you would hear it probably. But if somebody's loose, you're going to see it.
Okay.
And if there's ever kind of bump in the night, we live above this center section. So if we hear something, our first move is to go to the cameras first. We've got one down by the front entrance. We've got a couple... sort of really every vantage point around the property. Out of just necessity liability, we have one facing the arena. So if something ever happens, like somebody falls off or whatever, I'll always just save that and store it in a Google Drive. If it was ever needed. I mean, we have insurance that would cover liability, but I think
it's good to have.
Actually, speaking of that, we do have a dash cam in all the vehicles too, and that has saved us before.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, actually, Courtney, will come on. She was driving the old truck in a left turning lane. We're in Ocala going to Gainesville. No horses on board, which is good, but she was left turning lane in the dark, so you could see the blinker on. She was in like the turning lane on the left. As she started the turn, this guy tried to pass her on the left. Bad move. And totally clocked the left front quarter of the truck, and she was not at fault at all. Like, it was not her problem, but the insurance was starting to give us a hard time, and I just pulled the footage off the camera, sent it to them, and they said, oh, never mind, no problem, like, you're completely not at fault, and our insurance never went up or anything wow. after that. So,
okay.
So yeah, we do have dash cams running all the time too. But yeah, the camera system
you guys have at the barn.
Yeah. So there's a company called RealLink that we use. So we were lucky enough. We built this place from the ground up. So a lot of them are hardwired, and then we've got a main sort of hub in a utility room. And then they also make Wi-Fi cameras. So it'd be similar to like a, you know, a Ring or a doorbell camera sort of idea that you tie it into the Wi-Fi and then you can pull it up. And it all ends up going to the same interface in the app. And yeah, I mean, I think it's, I don't know, peace of mind for sure. And when we're away, we can check on things or whatever. It's, you know, it makes it a little more relaxing to be off the property and know that you can still check in and make sure.
Doug stored when our pony jumped out of the field.
Yeah, the pony. Yeah, funny things happen for sure. You got to do that too. But like, I don't know, you get a notification there's a storm coming. You can check if the horses are out or in, you know, or I don't know. There's a ton of times that we end up just pulling it up quickly to see what's up.
And so with your interface, it's all just
an
app
on
your phone?
Yeah, yeah, one app on the phone.
Okay, that's awesome. But beyond
that... And that's, again, that's not crazy expensive. Like, it sounds like it would be, and probably if you went to a service to do it, it would be, but, you know, not really not bad.
So we'll definitely link to your Amazon store, because you guys
are greater. Yeah, I've got a list of... I've got, I think, two lists on that. I'll get that to you.
Okay, awesome. But beyond that, like just, you know, cameras and the trailer and the barn. Doug, I feel like you're so good at like creating your own content using tech that works for you.
For right before my 40th birthday, he asked if he could get his birthday present early because he wanted an Insta360 camera.
So let's talk about that. Is that the best
one? I mean, gotta do it, right?
Is that the best tracking camera?
I wanted to document her birthday trip, you know?
Okay.
As far as like, you know, I mean, most people would be familiar with, you know, a GoPro or whatever. The amazing thing about the 360 camera, it records in 8K, so super good quality, and it records 360 degrees. You imagine a complete sphere. It records all at once, and then after you shoot it, then you can pick the angle and the zoom that you want. And so unlike a GoPro where you have to make sure the orientation is correct, this thing, you just get it close and you can get some amazing footage from it.
In
the post and the editing, you can have it auto track, or you can use what they call keyframes. So just along the way you can pick a different vantage point, viewpoint along the
timeline.
But it's
on a stick. You're holding a stick.
Yeah, so we've used it like for family stuff. We use it skiing or we used it playing polo once, and it'll effectively edit out the stick that you're holding it on. So even if you flip the view back to yourself, you're just going to see yourself. You're not going to see anything else. It's distracting.
Okay, but it's not like a Pivo where you turn it on and it tracks you.
No, it is not like that. Okay. I've not used the Pivo, so I don't know much about it. I mean, I know conceptually what it is, but I've never used it in real life.
No, he goes for the drones for that one. And that's
the one drone is so cool.
I know.
It does auto tracking. You can wear a little transponder that helps it, but the only catch is you have to launch it off the horse. So that's the sketchiest moment. But you can pick what orientation, either above, beside you, behind, in front, whatever. And it'll auto track you along the way. And so you can get some wicked footage from that. And
you just got to be brave in the beginning, huh?
Yeah, yeah. The beginnings can be a little sketch if it's a spooky one, but hang on tight and you'll be good. But last year, we built a grob that dimensionally matches what's at Spruce Meadows. That's still on the bucket list for us. And it's just about jumpable. So keep an eye out for that footage, because I'm definitely going to use the drone to jump through it.
So affordability-wise,
he doesn't care.
Is the drone worth it for like the average person, like for the quality of the video that you're getting?
The average nerd, yeah. Okay. It's, I mean, I think it was $600 or $800, some ballpark.
Doesn't tell me, and I don't want
it. It wasn't insanely expensive. You know, it's not like you're dropping $4,000 on this thing. And the cool thing too, so you can use it to track, but you can also use it as a normal drone sort of idea. You can control it with your phone and their controller interface, so You can still get all the utility you would get with a normal drone, but it also does have the ability to do the tracking.
So if you had a friend, you didn't have to launch it off your horse. If you trusted me to do it, I would actually.
But there's no way you'd actually be able to track me. I've seen her try and drive. It wouldn't happen.
Risk his life and launched off
the horse. Yeah, exactly.
Now, so, I mean, I know when you guys go to horse shows, you're even taking your own still, like, DSLR
images.
He's
had a camera.
Yeah, so I've had a camera. I mean, I've kind of been a photo nerd, too, for a long time. So I've had the equipment for quite a while. And then for a while there, we're hiring services to, you know, pay them on a weekly basis to take pictures of any of the horses we're riding. But, I mean, that ended up...
It's expensive.
Crazy. I mean, it's expensive. I mean, I think anywhere from... What was it? Like probably $6,000 to $1,000 a week, probably to have them do that. Mm-hmm. And granted, we have a lot of horses, so you could spread it across all of them. But still, I mean, after what, 3 weeks, our equipment paid for itself. So the most expensive thing with photo, as many know, is the lens.
Yeah.
You know, all the lenses you own are the most expensive part. And then the body's not as bad. So I had the lenses already. So then I just updated to the sort of the latest, body for it. And
And we stayed using your old one to make sure we really wanted it, and then we were using it a time.
Yeah, and then the newest one is just the autofocus was amazing. And I basically give it to the girls and I say, just when you get close to a jump, hit the shutter and let it go. And you know, I would say in an average day we're shooting, I don't know, a good handful of horses, we probably have 2,000 images we come with, and then you know, take you an hour at the end of the day, but you can weed through it and you probably still end up getting, I don't know, 8 or 10 like legitimately good ones out of it.
The latest body
that we have with it, the autofocus has a predictive AI thing that works really, really well, because the cheaper cameras you're going to get, they're going to lock on the jumps that are nearer to you or, you know, nearer to the photographer. And this one, you can set it up to do sort of fast moving objects. And so it'll tend to just lock onto the horse. And I would say probably 90% of them are in focus across that whole block, and it'll probably shoot, I don't know, 20 some odd frames a second.
A pretty good like horse show hack that you guys have figured out how to do your own.
It's awesome. And then you own the rights to it. So if you want to post it somewhere or you want to do something, you know, we're lucky enough to work with a bunch of great companies. They can use it for their promotional stuff, and you're never worried about the rights on it and who do you have to pay and what you have to do with it. It just makes it, it makes it seamless in that way. And I think in the end, like I've always thought, doing your own social media is the reason people follow, is they want to understand or get to know you yourself. And I know many, many riders do it and many are successful with it, but hire a company or somebody to do it, but you're kind of getting a canned version of what they really are. And I think it's more important to me, at least, to portray your actual viewpoints on it.
So Doug, I know you're also a Garmin guy. We always get questions on like, which is the best like wearable tech watch to wear as an equestrian. And we've asked you this question on the show before about the Garmin, but Garmin actually came up with a horse tracking device. It's called Blaze, the equine wellness system. And you've seen these kind of GPS trackers before. It can track heart rate, strides, the gait in your horse. So like you turn it on, it could track your whole workout, but the GPS is really amazing. Like you could be out on a trail and it knows exactly where you are. The sensor has up to 25 hours of battery life, and obviously it pairs with your Garmin watch, and you can see all of those real time stats on your phone and in your Garmin watch. What's different about it from Garmin's perspective is that the way it interacts with the horse is like a tail wrap. So there's a sensor that places underneath your horse's tail, and that's how it's recording your horse's health data. So it can see its heart rate, but also it can measure your horse's skin temperature. So like over time, how hot your horse gets during a workout. It's very cool. And Garmin does a really great job of just monitoring data and giving you trends. You know, my husband is a big time runner and he loves his Garmin watch just for using those analytics over time for his workout. So if you're someone who is also a nerd on fitness, I think the Garmin device would be really cool to check out. Again, it's called the Garmin Blaze Equine Wellness System.
And you've used it?
Yeah, I've used it a couple of times. At first,
what was your temperature details on it? I'd be intrigued by that.
It's really interesting.
Cross country, we use it. You know, the final box, they'd come in and, you know, you could get a pretty good handle on it. But real time, does it seem to update quickly?
It does. So, like, when you're connecting, like, you put the tail wrap on and you're connecting it with your watch, you have to give it a second to sync. So you do that before you get on. But it is reading the skin temp right away.
That's cool.
And then you, depending on like your notifications on your watch, like it will notify you. You could set it so it like pings you, like if you're worried about your horse getting too hot or something, like it would let you know that you could hit like a level that you should be aware. And then you just start a workout like you would any other type of workout on the phone or on the watch, and the watch just kind of picks up your workout.
Yeah,
that's really neat.
I think the heart rate stuff is so useful. I used it when I was running. Ran a marathon and used just the heart rate info to sort of guide me along that way. And then I used it, you know, when we're getting the horses fit for eventing. And the interesting thing that we found, and it was really useful if you happen to change location, or like say we went down to Aiken from our home base or wherever it was, is finding a new gallop and evaluating how stressful, I think it might not be quite the right word, but how much exertion the horses were putting out in a new location, because, you know, to get them fit certainly at a top level, like they've got to be working in their anaerobic threshold for a certainly longer period of time. If you're on the flat surface, you're going to probably get them hurt, because to get their heart rate anywhere near it, you got to be flying. But if you've got a good hill, obviously then you can slow it down, save their legs, and still get a good cardio workout out of it. So any more data is always better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they just do a really great job of tracking that data, so you can use it over time and see trends, right? So
yeah, no, I mean, Garmin's amazing. I actually, now that I'm done eventing, I can sort of let out my secret. So I used a Garmin Forerunner all the time. And what I did is I would stick it in metric and then use a virtual, what they call it, virtual partner. And the best part about that is that you could, when you'd start at the watch, it would have your virtual partner, you'd set it to the speed required for each level. So say at, I don't know, 5-star is 33 kilometers an hour. So you set it there. And then the moment you start, you know how many seconds or meters you're ahead or behind the pace for optimum time. And then you could use it at every level, right? So I never had to wheel a course ever. And I would just bank right off of that. And, you know, you might, okay, so say you took a long route, maybe that would skew it a tiny bit. So I'd probably get the last minute marker or 2 minute marker just to triple check myself. But I would leave it in the virtual partner setting all the way, all the time.
Wow. No, that's a good little hack. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's great, because a lot of times, okay, a minute marker is like, say, at the head of the lake. Okay. Well, that's not terribly useful, because you're in the middle of the lake, you know, fighting for your life there. And all of a sudden things beeping at you. You're not probably going to hear it. You're going to be, well, did that happen? When did it happen? So at any moment on a gallop straight that really not much is happening, you can glance down and say, well, you're never going to be ahead at a 5-star, but you're, how much do you have to cook? How much risk do you have to take at that point to make sure that you're as good as you can be?
Absolutely. So if you guys have questions about anything we talked about in terms of this tech segment, we'll make sure we link to everything in the show notes. And then you could always post in our Facebook group, and we'll pester Doug to hopefully answer questions.
Looking for your next horse girl read? We're raffling off one paperback copy of the new Natalie Keller Reinhardt novel, The Jump. To enter, just leave a comment on our giveaway post on Instagram or Facebook. One winner will be selected at random on April 30th. Good luck.
So our next guest, Doug is still with us, but I decided to have a surprise guest, and Courtney is here to join us, our old groom, still a very close friend of ours.
Carson.
Yes, I was going to say, please welcome Courtney Carson.
Does that actually, is that even still valid now that I'm finally married?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
You might be wrong, Douglas.
I'm wrong. Nope.
We're all wrong.
Courtney Lloyd. Meet Courtney Lloyd.
That is hilarious.
She might sound familiar, but she has a new name.
The Courtney Lloyd formerly known as Courtney Carson.
Yes.
Okay. Who hasn't decided what she wants her name to actually be. So this could all be irrelevant in a couple weeks.
But just a side note, guys, Courtney eloped and went to Fiji in New Zealand. And she's been telling me about the trip the last couple days. And oh my gosh, one, the pictures are amazing. And the food sounds amazing. And the resorts and the places she went were so cool. So
the photos were gorgeous.
And it's so
oh my
cool.
gosh. Yeah, thank
I've been
you.
Following on Facebook. I was like, oh my God, it's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I do feel like it's worth mentioning because I haven't even told this to Jess. One of the wildest things to me while we were there is like, I've been on a cider kick recently, and cider in New Zealand is clear. Like, I actually thought Patrick had brought me back a water when he first came back to the table. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
Alcoholic cider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. An alcoholic cider. They're clear. And it's because of how it's processed. And so it actually, like, takes the color out of it. But I was very, very skeptical for, like, the first three. And then I was okay with it. Now it's weird to have colored cider.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so strange.
Well, yeah. So Courtney, we want to have you on to have all like the good feels conversation about you and Van Diver and all these things. But first of all, like since the last time we've had you on the pod, like your life has changed. You're married. You have a career change. You no longer work for Justin Doug. Can you just get us caught up quickly on all these things that have happened?
Yeah, like 3.5 years and 30 seconds. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. So, I mean, you know, it's hard because grooming is what really like makes me happy, you know, and it's what I would do. I would do it every day. I mean, I've had my horses at home with me since I was 10. And then when I moved away from home, I moved in with these two. And so it's kind of like really weird to just not have that as a part of my daily, you know, structure. And so I've kind of explored a little bit. I did a stint in equine mortality underwriting, which was really cool. Anyone who is considering a job in that field, if you've got half knowledge of like show records and veterinary knowledge and things like that, you could step right into that kind of a role. So that's kind of a nice like equine adjacent career. And then I was actually approached by a tech company called Equitrace that is doing horse show health document verification. And so I was approached by them to help market the product and work with show management. And so I helped them get that off the ground. And then now recently I've stepped in with another startup in technology that's kind of building a new like exclusive network for trainers and service providers. And so I don't really know how much I'm allowed to say quite yet because it's not my baby to bring into the world, but I've just started that in the last couple of weeks since we've been back, and it's a really, really cool project. And I think it's going to kind of take a lot of those sales ads and flooding your inbox on Facebook, you know, with junk away, because it's going to allow streamlined communication between trainers, you know, trainers to trainers, trainers to breeders, trainers to grooms, kind of that. So, and it will all be like vetted and verified people. So if you either no call, no show, or don't pay your staff or whatever it is, you're going to get the boot because we only want good people supporting other good people. So yeah, that's really cool. And I'm really excited about it, but it's definitely like a continued pivot away from where I thought I would be.
Wow. Yeah. But how interesting. Good for you, Courtney. You've been busy.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. I don't sit still very well.
So no. There's been a couple stories that came out recently about Van Diver. Obviously, there are a lot of people on this call who love him, who know him very well, including you. But it's very obvious you've always had a special bond with that horse, from caring for him, like while Doug campaigned him all these years. I know you got to compete him yourself after his retirement. Can you just tell me before we get into like where he is now, like tell us more about the bond you have with this horse and why him, like why is he so special to you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's actually really funny because I vividly remember, and this was, I mean, I had known Jess, but I hadn't really met Doug. I'd met him a couple of times but I didn't know him. And I vividly remember like when it was announced that Quinn or Van Diver was like going to them for him to keep the rod on. And it was just kind of one of those things. I remember thinking like, this is going to be a top pair for this country, you know? And so then when I was kind of sitting in New York, I was grooming for a show jumper at the time and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was like, who would I actually want to go work for? Like, who has the horses to really, you know, kind of like make a good go at it? And it just so happened, like Jess had posted that they were looking for someone. And I was like, I know Jess, I get along with Jess very well. I really believe in Doug and this horse, you know, not having like really ever watched Doug ride him in person. And there's just kind of always been something about him. I watched him go around Kentucky with Werner the first year. Like there's just kind of always been something about him. And I don't know if it's just that we're both weird in certain ways, you know, or what it is, but like, you know, my OCD and his like emotional strangeness, I don't know. We just click. But it was really, you know, kind of special from the beginning and really fun to just watch him like grow and progress in his career. And I kind of made it my mission to attempt to make him as normal as possible. I don't know if that actually worked or not, but yeah, it's he's always been a really cool horse. I've always had really good feelings and, I mean, I guess you could say instincts about him because he went on to do some pretty great stuff.
So tell us a story about how he retired. You moved on to another career, but then he found a way back into your life?
Yeah, so it was kind of wild. I mean, we officially retired him from upper level competition at Kentucky in 2022. And these two sneaky fools decided to record this video and put it on the internet while I was like, I don't remember if I had taken another horse off to go like trot it up with, you know, our vet or what it was, but I was not at the barn while they were filming this. And I'm trying to get the Quintessence horse ready to show jump and my phone is going nuts. And I was just like, what is happening? And I finally looked at it and it was just one of my friends in all capital letters was like, oh my God, you're competing, Quinn. And I was like, what is everyone talking about? Like, I'm crying because he's retiring, you know? So yeah, Doug had put it on the internet that they were going to let me compete him. And there's a whole lot to unpack from that weekend in general. But so I was very, very lucky. He went on vacation after Kentucky and then I brought him back. And because of qualifications and how long it had been since I competed, I just did an unrecognized with them. But I mean, he has the most generous breeders and owners, you know, that we could ever have been fortunate enough to have. And so Debbie had come to ride some of her other babies and Doug was like, get on him. And she's like, I don't want to get on him. I don't like riding him. And what she'd competed him through, I think preliminary level, right,
yeah.
Doug?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And she was never supposed to take him back. And the reason we wanted Courtney to compete him, as a side note, was he was always supposed to get leased out. We never really wanted to sell him. We wanted just to lease him out. You know, we were part owners with the Crowleys and we loved him. And he kind of was didn't have to go anywhere. And so the whole plan was, Courtney, why don't you take this opportunity now? You take him to an event so you can say that you got to compete him. You got to experience it. All of this. Great. And then on the backside of it, we said, Debbie, you should come ride him, you know, one more time before he gets, we had three trials coming to look at him that next week. And now Courtney can tell about how Debbie fell in love with him that one time. And
yeah,
and basically not to sell. We didn't sell him. We didn't lease him. We didn't do anything. He's here. Yeah. He's still here.
And like to add to it, I mean, he's big, like he's 17'2" and he's like the family van. So from nose to tail, he is so much horse to put together.
He's kind of one of those, he's a little bit built for two and he personifies the full-on moose. So
I love the family fan.
Oh my gosh, no, it's like you could literally, you know, it's he's long. And Debbie is 100 pounds soaking wet, so like it's a lot of horse for her to manage. I mean, God, it's a lot of horse for me to ride. There's days that I'm like, how did Doug trot this in a dressage ring ever?
He wears that every day too.
The trot was an ab workout, I'll tell you what. I was half the time in the test, like waiting for the canter to start because I'm like, I'm about to die here.
Guys, it was not that bad when you put a jump saddle on. I told you just to go in a jump saddle.
Jessica, I will gladly let you come ride him any day right now and try to walk him back from the cross country fields, because I am currently getting run away with at the walk.
Yep.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so I mean, there were just like kind of everything working against them, and Doug had her jump him around. And I mean, same thing, just like biggest smile. She couldn't believe how different of a horse he was. I mean, but he'd been gone for like 8 years, you know, so you'd hope he'd gotten better. And it was just kind of like immediately, like, that's what made sense, was to let him go back to her and her to enjoy him and all of that. And so then I guess beginning of December, I got a text message from Kevin, her husband, and I was like, oh gosh, they're calling to tell me that this horse has died. Like, I just, you know, I was like, I just, everything was going wrong. I was like, this is what I'm getting. This is like the end of my week. I'm going to just go jump off a bridge. And I open it, and Kevin's like,
and she's actually not being dramatic. That's probably what she really was feeling at the moment.
Oh yeah. I'm yeah. Sure. No, it was like, it was so stressful getting work ready for winter season. And like, oh, it was just a lot. And like the weather was gross and all this. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like my final straw right here. And little did I know, I opened it and they were just like, you know, Debbie's to a point to where like riding him is a lot for her again. She's not really, doesn't have time to ride other stuff anyway. He's sitting here bored. We would never sell him. We know how much he means to you. Like, don't feel any pressure. He has a forever home here with us, but you know, would you like to take him? Like, he's bored. He wants a job. He's like chasing us every day. And I was just like, yeah, absolutely. And I kind of looked at Patrick and I was like, we're getting a horse. And he was like, okay, we'll figure it out. And so, cause he's just supportive like that and great. And so, thankfully, like with work and everything, I was kind of able to delay it. And he came a couple months later. I was able to find a place to put him and, get through the worst of winter and everything. And it's just been, it's been amazing. It's been like unreal, you know, even though like we don't do much, it's just amazing. It makes me happy every day. And I'm like a little kid with my pony again.
I bet. I mean, it's not like you just got a horse. You got a horse that's been to the Olympics. You got a 5-star eventer. You got this horse you travel the whole world with that you spend
well,
so much time
friend.
With.
That was probably, you know, the best way to put it. Like they were like, that was her horse. Like that was her favorite. You know, we had other good ones, but I'm still shocked Quincy wasn't her favorite, but it was Quinn.
Yeah. I was actually telling the story about all my trot ups with Quincy yesterday. So yeah, let's act shocked that one's not my favorite.
No, he picked me to be his favorite. I got that one. Don't worry.
Oh gosh. But yeah, it's crazy. And it's one of those, like, it's been really good for me, you know, because it's just kind of trying to shift my perspective a little bit, you know, of not, I have to do these things. I get to do these things. And like getting back to the barn has been really, really good for me just in that sense. And it's like, I get to go to the barn, and it's not just, I get to go to the barn to spend it with any horse. I get to go spend it with a horse that I would literally throw myself in front of a train for, you know.
Well, and you guys are all like, because you're still in North Carolina, you're like right down the road from
Dog,
right?
Yeah.
She went to him the other day. She stops by the house. We still have not been out to see Quinn. We do need to go out. Our children
are Abigail actually requested a ride on her Olympic horse. That's happening here.
She did. Yeah, exactly.
She told Courtney. She was like, Courtney, I gotta go, because the kids still love Courtney. They're like, go run and mess with her and all the above. Like, I mean, she's known them since they were born, both of them. So they should.
Which blew Abigail's mind the other night.
She was still confused. But Abigail's like, I don't understand how you've known me since I was born. I thought like you were here. And she's like, no, I've been everywhere with you guys.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But I know he's kind of a quirky guy. So he settled in okay, like coming back to you in North Carolina?
He's still quirky. But he walked off the trailer and he was kind of like, okay, cool, I'm somewhere else. This is what I do. He's funny, you know. If I hack him alone going away from the barn, I could drop the reins and he'd never get faster. He'd never do anything. He squeals in the cross country field if I try to trot circles around it and I don't let him jump jumps. He's very angry that he doesn't just get to like canter around and jump things. And if he's coming back to the barn alone, it's like you would think I was on like a spooky 3-year old. If there's a single other horse with us, I can drop the reins and he won't go. He's like, whatever. I'm babysitting. This is embarrassing. How dare you tell people I act like that? I'm like, you tried to spin me off yesterday. Like, what do you mean? So, yeah.
I love that.
He's 22 going on 4. Yes.
So any plans with him or just having fun together? And
yeah, I mean, right now we're just kind of taking it as it comes. I've got to get back in good enough shape to survive jumping more than singular fences before I even consider doing anything. And at the end of the day, like I've said it a million times, but he owes me absolutely nothing. So, you know, it's whatever makes him happy. And long that's hack, kind
long,
of
long hacks on the, with the Snackamore.
Oh yeah. 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 We busted that back out yesterday and that made him, you know, not that he's had many restrictions, you know, with his normal snaffle, like how dare I tell him what to do? But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on. You know, it's fun right now. It's been really fun and it's kind of great. Cause if the weather's hit or miss, like tonight with everything going on and leaving for Kentucky tomorrow morning, I didn't have time to ride. And it's like, you know what, with him at 22, does it matter? Like he's going to have the next 6 days off anyway. So does it matter that he doesn't get ridden tonight? Not at all. Nice. So it's just nice to not have that stress, and not feel like you have to do it.
Absolutely. So question for you, Doug, how does it make you feel knowing that, you know, Quinn ended up with his biggest fan?
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say, I think it's a pretty incredible story because, you know, with us and then, you know, then he spent some time with Debbie, which I know Courtney had mentioned this to us earlier, but it's like, he kind of ended up in the place that he needed to be at the time that he needed to be. And, you know, to end up back with Courtney is probably the absolute best place he could be for sure. I mean, she understands him better than anybody. And you always hope that in the end, they end up in a great situation and you couldn't imagine a better spot for him.
Aw. I know it seems crazy that it's been this long that he's been retired, like 2022. I can't believe that already. But do you guys have any, like, is there a memory, Courtney or Doug, that you guys want to share, like from, you know, from your time together when he was still competing with you, Doug, like any good, like Quinn stories that are worth sharing?
There's a long list.
I don't know what I'm thinking of, Doug. List. The one that I think
I can't wait to hear Courtney's.
Oh boy, here we go.
Courtney's is going to be great. I got to say, the second round of the Olympics, you know, we had one down, which is fine, right? And, you know, just that feeling of accomplishment and
relief.
Well, relief and obviously proud of him and sort of what we were able to accomplish. And then kind of watching that competition unfold and coming away as the highest place American is, I mean, that's something I'll never forget. And that's, you know, it's all his credit, 1000%. It's, you know, certainly wouldn't have been there without him. And he's changed our life for sure.
Oh, that's a sweet one. What about you, Courtney?
So I've kind of got two because that was a little bit like, just the Olympics in general. And, you know, there's kind of two pieces to that. So, Eric Devander, who was the coach of the team at the time, looked at me. Gosh, I was just about to say Saturday morning, but cross country morning. I have no idea what day of the week it was. And he was just like, you know, take a moment and take it all in. And we were like the third horse out of the box. The first girl fell off. Oliver Townend's bolting back and forth up and down the laneway. I'm like, there's no time to take any of this in right now, buddy. Like, talk to you later. And then we jumped pretty early in the first round because he was early in the draw. And so I go back and I've untacked him and we were like on the bubble getting into the second round and Doug comes back and he's like, gotta go again. I said, yep, we gotta go again. Like not finished yet. But kind of like after all of that to just really sit and take it in and realize like how much this horse had gone through with the Olympics getting delayed a year, you know, what we had to overcome with him to get there, He's not your typical type of horse. All the things, like, all heart in this guy. You know, but then, but like in that breath, you know, I mean, gosh, we went to Burley in 2019 and it was the toughest year for cross country that they'd ever had on record. And unfortunately, because he's all heart, you know, he got to a bit of a distance at the biggest fence on course and just didn't quite make the distance and fell down. So, you know, our weekend ended quite early, but I mean, we brought him back and he rolled right onto the net. And oh my gosh. But like, he never missed a beat, you know, he just rolls right home and goes to the next event. And then, yeah. But so then the one that I always think of is we're standing there at Fairhill that fall to get our qualification to go to Kentucky the next year. And it is pouring down rain at the first trot up. And they've got this photo of Doug and I laughing and they're like, haha, even eventers always have good spirits, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, little do they know that I had just looked at this horse and said, if you hadn't fallen down at Burley, we wouldn't be here, buddy.
And when I mean they're in full rain gear, they like, it's so wet. Like Courtney is like head to toe and it doesn't even look like somebody should be standing out there.
Oh,
no, Quinn's so got the rain sheet that goes all the way to his ears, and his big ears are like out to the side, like a sad, wet dog. And
it's so gross. Not getting out. I mean, I was pregnant and had Hudson, and I was like, yep, nope, I am going to stay in this corner where I'm not going to have a screaming child. You guys can go out in the rain.
Yeah. But everyone did, like, the captions and everything were like, oh my God, haha, look, they're in such good spirits. And I'm like, no, I was bitching at my oars.
Oh my goodness. So Courtney, you're in Kentucky this weekend too for the big event. Tell us what you're doing. Cause you're doing what you love.
Yeah. I got, roped in to, I'm helping, Christina Henriksen with her really cute little horse named Cisco. She's in the four short. And so she had a girl that had been helping her a bit and then had some other stuff come up. So she kind of called me last minute. And then obviously I'll help Mary Bess, who I'm sure Doug and Jess have already talked about. I'll be there for them on cross country day. And then also Woodge Fulton I help her quite a bit. And so her horse is supposed to do his first five star. So while I'm not like officially on the list for her, I was going regardless to help them, and so it's kind of nice that now I get to go properly help Christina as well, so be fun.
Hey, awesome.
She's gonna be in the rain yelling at somebody.
Yeah,
probably. That'd be on brand.
You know what, if I'm at home, I'm gonna screenshot it from the live feed and send her a text message.
It can't be the best video though, I think, is us in the vet box at Carolina when Quinn won that year.
Yes.
Because it's you guys with Hudson bundled up in the stroller and I'm swinging Emma Lomangino around like, like a small child.
It was his first big win and it was amazing.
Courtney, gosh, it's been so great catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming on. And you'll have to spam the Facebook group with lots of pictures of Quinn and what you guys are up to.
Oh yeah, I will. Don't worry. That's easy. He gets to torture Patrick all week because Patrick's job is to go by and check on him. So I'm a little worried at what the peppermint consumption. He volunteered to go and then he bought a 5-pound bucket of peppermints. So I'm a little worried at what the sugar consumption is for the week.
He's trying to bribe his way into love.
Yeah. Well, Quinn's learned that like if he pokes him, that he just gets fed more treats. So it's
perfect.
It's like a dog with the automatic treat bowl. It's pretty bad.
That's amazing.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So I strategically placed my horse between the house and the plane. So he has to stop.
Yeah.
No slipping, no sliding, no problem. EcoGold Secure saddle pads are engineered to help the horse's back stay comfortable while keeping the saddle in place for a safe, competitive ride. They have impact protection through the seat, and the ultra-thin flaps provide the rider with better communication and a more stable riding position. Available in both English and Western styles. Shop the entire collection at EcoGold.ca. All right, guys, it's that time again. Who wants to go first for Rose and Thorn?
Jess, I feel like you're ready.
I'm ready. So
you go.
I will. So I'm not sure this is going to be probably a controversial statement because people might judge me for what we did, but it's okay. Because, well, it's fine. No, our Rose, my Rose is that I got, so my lease on my other car was up. And so then I drove the truck for a couple weeks and I got really irritated with gas prices and everything. And for me, it was diesel prices.
It's a little so crazy right now.
They're nuts. And I drive the kids to school like 25 minutes, which is like now four times a day, basically, because, you know, you got to get there back and then go again. So it was a lot of driving and a lot of gas. So we had talked about it a while back. Doug and I went to look at getting a Tesla. And so we got a Tesla and Doug obsessed. Like, he's all into his tech, like we all know. He loves the self-driving mode. He loves it. Like, he has got all the screen stuff. But my Rose part of it is, yes, I don't have to get gas, which I hate getting. But also, I sent Justine a text message because I am actually, everybody knows I record in the car. I am recording in the car currently. And my, like, all my screen is up with everything for my podcast in my car. I'm using the screen and it like zooms in that I can see it. And it's not tiny. It's actually amazing.
It's a computer screen. It's pretty nice perk. And you have Wi-Fi in it, you know?
It's my Wi-Fi from like the house, but still I'm like, this is great. So I'm on a browser and I can use this. And honestly, like I was like, this is going to be my Rose because I can now see really well and it's not like right in my face. So that is 100% my Rose, is that I'm now using my car to help me out with my podcast. And
you finally got the car to match your lifestyle of taping the podcast in the car after 9 years. Here you are.
So I'm like, people are going to judge me, but it's fine. I'm here for the judgment because I do love it. And it's really actually comfortable. It is weird that there's like no dashboard. Like, it's all on this screen. And that is strange. But I'm still I think it still outsmarts me sometimes too. Like, it's
It learns. Like, it updates itself and it learns. Like, it's really interesting. So
it
I'm curious,
is interesting. So
like, over time, how you like it? Because I think you're just gonna like it more.
I'm only a couple weeks in, like maybe two, but I do really like it. So that's definitely my Rose. And my thorn is that it's been all this weather, and then every time I want to put away my blankets and wash them, because all I really want to do is get a really good washing on the blankets and like clean up, we keep having this crazy weather. And so every time I'm like, girls, I think next week we can put away the heavies or the mediums or all this. Nope, we're back down into the 30s this week.
Wow.
So I would just, we've gone from 80 to 30, and I just want it to kind of calm down and give us some rain. Because we're a little dry as well. But
take mine, please.
Yeah. It's nuts. We've been here 5 years and I've never seen Raleigh or Durham go on a water restriction. And both cities are on water restrictions.
Wow.
So I just would like things to kind of calm down before the heat of the summer breaks, because it's only April.
I know, we're really dry too. Like, we're having the same issue of like fire warnings and things like that, because it's just so dry. But we're hot. I wish we had nicer temps.
So like maybe I shouldn't judge the blanket situation. But yeah, it's kind of a lot when it's 60, 70 during the day, and it's like it might be 40 or 30. I'm like, mash for the horses again. Like, mash for the horses, because it just keeps being extremes on both ends.
Yeah.
That's, I've been having to mash like crazy too.
So
your weather's extreme too, Ellie, like back and forth.
Oh yeah. Like the other day it was 80 and then it dropped down to 18 that night. Like not even 12 hours to drop that much.
It's nuts.
So
So Justine, what's your Rose and Thorn?
Well, it's kind of funny. You stole my thunder a little bit. My Rose
couldn't have been the thorn because you just told me the weather's fine.
The weather is normal Florida, except it's dry. But I also got a new car. That is,
you did.
It's a Rose, but it's like a, you know, an in-between Rose. It's blurry because I got in a car accident. I got rear-ended by an extremely inebriated driver and was forced to get a new car because my truck was totaled. It was sadly. So I finally got a new car, thank goodness. I went about almost a month of driving my husband's little SUV, and like, I just made him not have a vehicle, essentially. So he's a good sport, but I was like dying inside, because you get, it's funny, as you know, like a horse girl, you get so used to the truck of like, oh, well, I could stop and like pick up a bale of hay or throw whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I hook up the trailer and move it over here. And I just, I was like amazed at how many times I could not do like menial everyday routine things because I didn't have a truck.
I know.
You're like, wow, this is, it's hard to exist without it. So I was dying. I was dying without it, but it, shopping for a car right now is also crazy. It was like a very stressful experience, and prices are high and finding something that's decent, blah, blah, blah. But so as you guys know, I had an F-150 before I switched. I'm now a Chevy person.
No.
So, I know.
Welcome.
I know.
No, I'm sad for you. How are you going to unlock your car? I don't even know where my keys are because that keypad. I love that keypad. I'm not ready to ever give up that keypad on the Ford.
Oh. You're so funny. Yeah.
You lock your keys in it. It's great. You never lose them.
I've never
taken my keys out of my car. If you know the code to my truck, you could take it because the keys are 100% in it.
Well, so now the cars are so smart because it's like my first keyless start truck. I was like surprised that the trucks do it. So I can leave my keys in it.
Oh,
because it always will unlock the door, you know, if the keys are in it. So I don't know. It's pretty nice. I like it.
Oh, that's nice.
It's so far so good. The only problem is it's white. It's a white truck.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't know. This is the cleanest it's ever going to be.
Black shows. No, that's not true. Black is worse. Like black, you get like a speck of dirt on it and you can see it.
Okay.
White will be fine.
All right. We'll see. I'm worried. Like I'm driving it. It's I got a Silverado, so it's a V8. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit bigger than my F-150, but not really. Because you got to remember, like, you guys, I live downtown in an urban city center. So I almost bought the same truck, but a diesel, a Duramax engine one. And because it was really nice and it had all the upgrades. But I was like, this seems insane to have a diesel truck and, like, live downtown and have to parallel park every day. You know?
It's a lot.
Like for it to like haul the horse trailer a couple times, you know, a month.
Yeah.
Like this seems extreme. So I passed on that one. But no, I'm excited. It's a really nice truck. So knock on wood. Hopefully it's all good. It feels good to be back in a truck.
No, that's so exciting.
I know. I know. But not fun. I still am mourning the loss of my Ford, which was really good to me for many years. So and then let's see, my thorn is that it's getting hot. I feel like I've had so much like just life stuff happening that, you know, like usually the time to horse show, if you live in Florida, was the beginning of the year, right? When everybody's here.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything so far this year. So I don't know. It just like work, life, there's a lot going on. Horse showing seems a little bit on the back burner for me this year, which is okay, you know? But I am, like, I'm not gonna lie, I did realize recently, and like, now that I have the truck, I'm like, oh, I can plan to go do things again. And I'm like, well, it's about to get really hot. How much is my motivation to be fit to go and do stuff, you know? But we'll see. UDJC has a bunch of stuff going on in Florida this year, so I might try to catch a few more of their shows before it's like brutal hurricane season, but we'll see. So what about you, Ellie? What's going on?
Well, my thorn is that I'm still driving the car I bought when I graduated high school. And you guys have new vehicles.
It's expensive. Hold on to it. If it's still running good, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I was laughing cause I changed my like rear blinker the other day and I was like, they were like, oh, we don't really, what year is your car? I'm like, 2008. I was like, I'm going to keep that thing till it literally falls apart while I'm driving. But
we love our 2002 truck. It's still running.
But, no, my actual rose is kind of like a you know, Rose Thorn. I mean, like, I'm happy about it, but I'm also, like, a little, like, scared about it. So I don't want to say I dumped, but I did. I dumped my last couple of clients because I've decided I don't want to, like, teach as much. Like, I'm like, I want to actually, like, go spend time with my own horses. And not be like, you know, have clients who are like, oh, the weather's nice, you know, will you come give me a lesson? So yeah, so I'm going to focus on my ponies this year, which is
heck yeah.
Exciting.
That's exciting.
It's about time. And, honestly, I'm really into this. Good for you.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do. But then of course the weather doesn't want to play. Cause my horses are like still like half shedded. And I'm like, well, I can't really ride you when it's 80 degrees and it's going to be 19 tonight. Like, I really don't want you to colic. So let's just hang out today. So I'm hoping it like gets a little more like steady so I can get them back into shape since they haven't really, done anything more than like trail ride and beep bop around for a couple years. So if the weather could cooperate, that would be good. But yeah. That is my rose. My thorn is that tax season is over, so Matt is around all the time again. No, I'm just joking. I am thrilled that I made it through tax season. And I'm really happy that even right now I can look out and see that he's doing stalls and I don't have to, as opposed to getting home really late. So I'm happy for him. So I guess I have two roses other than, you know, I am not in the new car club. But yeah.
Hey, a good dependable horse husband is plenty for a rose.
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, guys. So we had a great mailbag entry this month from Logan, who posted this in our Facebook group. He is asking, what is something that you want in your barn that like you couldn't live without? Like something that you put in your barn that you couldn't live without. He's currently renovating a barn, is looking for some advice on what people like, you know, now that you've lived in it, you've built it, that you're so glad that you splurged on or that you thought of. So obviously this is a great question for the two of you who own your own barns. Are there like little tiny subtle things that you're like, oh, I'm so glad we did this, that I would be dying if I didn't have it?
More outlets and more water spigots than you think you need.
Okay.
And hot water. Most people don't even
have hot water, and I'm jealous.
That's the one thing we did. We did cold and hot water in the barn. So like when it was like freezing and everything else, that's the one thing that like we were like, please, can we just do hot water? That
like
was
in your wash,
one.
Like your wash
in
stalls
wash
too.
Space. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that there's hot water in both the hot in the wash racks and in the laundry room. And the other thing we did is I did a bigger laundry room with a washing machine and dryer right near all of like the middle of everything.
That was smart. Okay. I like all those. Anything else like in your planning phase that you glad you thought of?
We were able to hire a like architect. So she did the orientation of it, depending on when the wind and the weather comes in. So we're able to not get hit with like all the rain. Like she oriented the barn due to our property because we started from like scratch. And that one I was glad we splurged on because I wouldn't have thought of different orientations and like the back deck is like where you have sunrise, but then it's like shaded so you're not burning up in the middle of summer.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Those big ones.
I have one more thing that I haven't done, but that I'm thinking about doing. Because I've been dealing, like the mud is the worst this year than it's like ever been since we've lived here. And I've been looking more into like the like mud management things. Like the grids you can put down or like the ones where you kind of dig down to your sub base.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about doing that like at least for like one pasture that I can like divide into three so that on these days where it's like honestly too dangerous to put them out, like where they sink up to their knee in mud. Because like, who knows what's a foot down in a farm that was been a farm for hundreds of years. Like, I'm like, I don't know, you know? So I want to do that for at least like one of my smaller pastures, just so I have like small paddocks I can put them in on the days where the mud is just insane. So making a dry lot with those.
That's I've smart. Heard
from my, yeah, I've heard from my like contractor friends that there are mud management systems that are not equine specific that are much cheaper. Cause you know, as soon as you add equine or horse to the name of anything, it goes up in price. So look for just mud management in terms of like landscaping. Don't look for equine specific.
I know, because anytime they slap a, like, it's a horse product, I feel like it's, ten times more expensive.
Yeah. Way worse.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's great advice. I, you know, as someone who doesn't own a barn, I can only dream. But yeah, I think like, in terms of where I've boarded, any place that has hot water, even in Florida, we only use it sparingly. But even to like make the water hot for, you know what I mean? Like if you want to make a warm mash, it does go just a long
warm.
Way.
Yeah, it doesn't have to go hot. It can just be warm. And that's the nice thing.
And laundry too. Anytime that there's a washer or dryer set up, that's always such a nice perk. And then also indoor and outdoor wash racks. Like I've always appreciated to have an option for both. So when it's raining, you can, you know what I mean? You're not, not getting soaking wet to rinse your horse off. But same with like, or if, in Florida, generally, most barns have just like one wash bay, like one or two wash bays. So it's always wet. I always like when barns also have like an option for just grooming areas where they don't get wet.
We did do that so that we did half wet, half dry. So then we clipped horses. They were on the dry sides.
Exactly.
They weren't always clogging the drains. So the drains are only on one side of our wash racks. Which
I love that. Or even like your farriers appreciate that. Yes. They're not walking into a wet wash bay every time. Yes. You know what I mean?
And we did do an outlet for the farriers right outside where they park.
That's amazing. That's very thoughtful.
And that was nice. Yeah.
So those are some good tips. I feel like the since Logan posted this in the Facebook group, there's been a good discussion there too. So if you have a question for us and you want us to answer it on an episode of Heels Down Happy Hour, you could always send us an email at justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you could be like Logan and post it in our Facebook group, which is the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. We love all the discussions that we have there. And we love that you guys are active and keep the conversations going long after, a podcast has been aired and we're taping the next one. And if you want to hear more from us, check us out at heelsdownmag.com for the latest news. And make sure you're following us online. We're at heelsdownhappyhour on Instagram and at heelsdownmag on Facebook and TikTok. And if you love our show, please leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Farnam and EcoGold. All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.